You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Ollie Pimlott, Paddy Aspel and Alistair Whitehouse-Jones in the studio. It's Bath, Fos, Lass and Chelmsford City on the domestic front. Good racing over in Ireland as well from the Curragh. Three Group 1s on their card, including the National Stakes and the Irish St Ledger. And there's also Arc Trials Day in Chaunty in France as well. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio is James Millman. How are you, James?
Very good, thank you, Mark.
Good, good man. Now, before we get stuck into Sunday's action, we're just going to take a look back at the final day of the St Ledger Festival at Doncaster, the big race with plenty of drama. The St Ledger had Idaho sent off a hot favourite. I think he went off about 4-6. He slipped 3 furlongs out, and that left the race wide open. A late challenge from Harbour Law saw him get there on the line, and history in the making as well, the first ever lady trainer to win the St Ledger. In the shape of Laura Mongan.
Yeah, definitely. It was a cracking St Ledger from a viewing point of view, because we had the massive drama's hot favourite Idaho, who, let's face it, really rated 120. He would have gone on to win that contest quite easily, but horse racing are not machines, and he either took a false step or just slipped or something happened. The momentum shifted Jamie Heffernan straight out of the saddle and onto the deck, and it just completely opened up the race, because obviously Houses of Parliament had been ridden really as a slightly pacemakerish role to make sure Idaho had a strong pace to chase. But then he's left as kind of the main Bayadol representative, and he's probably, that might have cost him winning, because he's probably gone a little bit harder than ideal, thinking they're setting it up for Idaho. And it's meant that the horse with the most superior stamina, Harbour Law, who has been trained absolutely brilliantly by Laura Mongan, was initially trained by Joe Crowley, who has retired from the training ranks, and Laura Mongan took him over. He won it a maiden at Salisbury and a handicap at Sandown before finishing second in the Queen's Vows at Royal Ascot. So the fact that he came second over 2 mile back in June certainly showed he got the stamina test here for Doncaster's mile 6 and half a furlong. And lugging left-handed, I thought it was going to cost him, but it was great to see him get up on the line for a small yard from Epsom to win the race. It's absolutely fantastic. Quality-wise, yes, it wasn't the best Ledger in the world, but it's given us an absolutely brilliant story. A small yard, small time owners who've not been tempted to sell the horse to bigger connections. So it's an absolutely fantastic result in that respect. Class wise, yes, it is disappointing, because the Ledger is a little bit of a struggle sometimes to get the good horses, and we're very lucky that Aidan O'Brien with the Bayadol breeding support it. But for once, I think Idaho, Shane Heffernan are both okay. It's great to see the small connections. And a lady trainer as well, and Laura Mongan. Obviously, her husband Ian was a very good jockey for Henry Cecil. He retired about the same time as me, and as a combination, they're doing an excellent job of training as well.
So Harbour Law wins the 2016 St Ledger, then returning at 22-1, beat Ventura Storm and Houses of Parliament. Great result for Laura Mongan, as you mentioned. Nearly £397,000 to the winner of the St Ledger, which is almost double her entire earnings on the flat prior to that. So
absolutely brilliant, isn't it? Like I say, I think Ian was quoted as saying generally our horses are at 55 and are running around Lingfield in January, February for about a couple of grand. So to be winning this kind of prize is absolutely brilliant for the yard.
Yeah, just to clear that up, she's won £207,000 before the Ledger and nearly £400,000 for winning the Ledger.
That's so a whole career.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it? But yeah, great to see.
It is. And good news as well afterwards that Shamey Heffernan did get up. He seemed okay after the looked a terrible fall there in the St Ledger. Other stuff to look at on day four of the St Ledger Festival. Let's have a look at the Park Stakes as well. Bretton Rock, the winner there, beats Happy Prince and a day in a real driving finish.
Yeah, real tight finish. The fact that Bretton Rock managed to get a job done does suggest the ground's certainly on the easy side at Doncaster for the final day of the Ledger meeting. What a credit to connections he is. David Simcox done a great job of training Bretton Rock. Only runs in when the ground's right, and he showed a real good attitude there. Fortunately for me, my nap had a only finished third. Didn't really face the blinkers, didn't travel that well, but he actually stayed on quite strongly. It's just that if they set him up to a mile, he could actually be winning again soon. Obviously, the Willie Haggis team, absolutely brilliant form at the moment. He didn't quite get the job done, but yeah, a good race. Probably not quite as strong as it could have been, but another good winner for David Simcock, because having a very, very good time.
Yeah, he's already had winners at Doncaster this week, hasn't he, David?
Shakeside Road.
Yeah.
So the team are in good form.
Mm. The Portland Handicap, always a competitive handicap. Plenty of runners there. We had 20 run in the end. Captain Colby, the winner, beat Humidor, Harry Hurricane and Double Up. Captain Colby's a horse really going places at the moment. He's won that fairly easily in the end as well.
Very easy for Portland. Normally you see five or six across the line, because it's a very competitive sprint. But the fact that he won by a length and a half and not really given a hard time by jockey William Buick, it suggests he could be a sprinter to follow. Obviously, this race has a history of following up for group class sprinters, and there's not a great difference between the top handicappers in those. And in fact, he's likely raced unexposed. I think he had a few injury issues, didn't race much as a 2- and 3-year-old. Busier season this year, and it could just be that he's developing into a very useful sprinter. So I think he's definitely group class. Interesting to see if they go big, and obviously we've got a Champions Day sprint, wherever he's ended up in those kind of contests. But certainly next year, I think he could be a real sprinter to follow.
Mm. We also saw a 2-year-old probably to keep on the right side of, in the shape of Rivet, who won the Champagne Stakes, the first race on the card on the Saturday, beat Thunder Snow and Dubai, and has been given a quote of 20-1 for the 2,000 guineas with us on the back of that.
Yeah, not a bad quote, I don't think, actually, because I was really impressed. He's pulled a long way clear with a runner-up Thunder Snow. Really impressed with those two horses. James Dole, good riding a runner-up, grabbed the favoured stands rail, and it did look like he'd hold on, because Rivet from a low draw was stuck centre of the track. But he's done extremely well to battle back. They put a lot of distance back to the third, 5 or 6 lengths, and I think both those two are decent horses. And Rivet, obviously, Willie Haggis is in absolutely brilliant form, which is certainly a positive, but he's a nice type of individual, one that made in at York very nicely. Straight up in the Group 2 company, gets the job done, and I can see him going places, because traditionally it can be quite a strong race at Champagne Stakes.
Yeah. Anything else stand out to you at Doncaster on the or anywhere, I suppose, on the Saturday or earlier in the week?
Yeah, no, I just think Doncaster is their main meeting of the year as such, the 4 days. The Legends is a great race to start him off with. Jose O'Brien showed what a talent he is. Such a shame for him that his weight issues have meant that he retired at 23, although he's obviously proven a very good trainer already, even at that young age. But good to see him, Husey, etc., back in action. So it's always a good way to start the meeting. I mean, there's some really strong racing. Good to see Shakeside Road win yesterday in a thriller with Quest for More. Just strong racing as a whole, and it was a really good meeting.
Hmm. And we'll leave that there. That's the St. Ledger meeting for another year. We're going to move on to Sunday's action. Plenty of good racing to look forward to in Ireland, France, and a busy schedule on the domestic front as well. We'll get James' thoughts in the best of the action on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Sunday's racing. Bit of an international flavour to this podcast. We're going to look at some of the racing in France, Ireland and on the domestic front. We start in the 2 o'clock at Shaun T, which is one of the big races on Arc Trials Day. On Sunday, this one is the Prix Niel, which is a Group 2 stakes race over just short of a mile and a half. It's for the 3-year-olds. And interesting lineup here, James. We'll just spin through the betting. Makahiki 4-9 at the top of the market, 4-1 for midterm. Doha Dream is 7-1, 12-1 Darabad, and Karzov is the 50-1 outsider. We've got the Japanese horse Makahiki, who could be, well, he's going to be the main Japanese hope in the arc this season, providing all goes well going into the race. Midterm from the English Brigade going over there, disappointing in the Dante last time, but before that looked pretty useful. What do you make of the race, James?
Interesting, isn't it? Obviously, it's the 3-year-old ARC trial. And Makahiki's very good in Japan, 1-4 from 5, including a Japanese derby. And I think what's probably key is the fact that Christophe Lemaire is going to be taking the ride. Obviously, he's now based in Japan. He's been in Japan for a couple of years. But generally, they have had Japanese-based jockeys as such on some of their ARC horses. And I do think that they can be perhaps not travel quite as well as the horses, I think, sometimes the Japanese jockeys, and maybe having a jockey who was very, very successful in France. Obviously, Christophe Lemaire was retained by the Niarchos family and the Aga Khan. he's got so much experience, and that's going to be a massive plus for the Japanese horse. He did a bit of work the other day at Shanty on Wednesday. That went well. Thierry Gianni rode a lead horse, and Christoph was very happy with him. Christoph's ridden him in Japan and won on him. So there's lots in his favour. He's pretty short in the arc, and like you say, he's a leading target as such. And then Japanese are so keen to win the race after off there in Deep Impact that he's got to be respected purely for that he's one of the chosen challengers. So interesting race. Midterm, obviously intriguing individual because he's a very well-bred son of Midday, who obviously won the Oaks by Galileo. And he looked like he was going to be a little bit of a superstar when he won the Sandown Classic trial back in April. This meant he was sent off at 5-4 for the Dante. Subsequently, he came back injured, so obviously he's had 122 days off the track. And it'll be very interesting to see how he gets on. Ted Durkin takes the ride. He won him on debut, but just suggests it's a little bit of a fact-finding mission, maybe to see if he's good enough to go for the arc, or whether they give him a break and bring him back as a four-year-old. So, interesting to see how he gets on. Obviously, going to provide a little bit of a guide to Makahiki's form, because obviously we got nothing to compare it to the Japanese form. One that's been pretty busy is Doha Dream, trained by Andre Favre for Al-Shakab Racing. That is interesting, but he's only been winning in the listed company, and he actually beat a horse called Kid Me Never last time out, and he was actually originally trained by Stan Moore in the UK, so I'm not entirely sure how strong that form is. So you'd think listed company would have to improve to win in the Group 2, so I'm afraid he's a bit skinny, but we'll be sticking with a Japanese horse and keeping the faith of Christoph Lemaire and Makahiki.
Okay, Makahiki then, the selection for James. You mentioned the Japanese raid with Deep Impact a few years ago. Makahiki is a son of Deep Impact. So that would be
he'll atone for the sire's defeat. But yeah. Like I say, they're desperate to win it, the Japanese. It's kind of an obsession now. I do remember when Deep Impact ran, I think Sergeant Cecil ran the same weekend, and he was like 10-1 on the French tote because the Japanese just backed in blind and kept on going. So they are desperate to win the race, and he could be a very, very nice horse. So it'd be great to see him in action on Sunday.
It will. Let's move on to some of the domestic action next. The 3:15 at Bath is where we go. This is the Summer Sprint Series final. It's over 5.5 furlongs, really. 3-year-olds and older in the lineup here. A field of 17 set to go to post. So an open race to come up at Bath. 3:15, James.
Yeah, definitely. And it's an interesting race because it's a 20-grand handicap. It's actually a final. Lots of qualifiers have been running at Bath this season. And we've had a 20-grand stayers race Saturday, and we've got a sprint race today on this track at a full field. 17 horses go to post. Probably not the most classy event for 20 grand, but there's lots of horses that have been winning these qualifiers. It'll be a very competitive contest. My dad's actually got a runner in Goan Mago, who's got a tongue tie on for the first time. She's had a great season, a couple of wins here at Bath and Foss last. She probably wouldn't want the ground too soft, and there was a fair bit of rain at Bath this morning, so that would be a little bit of a concern for her. Hopefully she can get a job done, because it's a great prize to be racing for. But I'm probably going to go selection-wise will be the Malcolm Saunders trained Baby Fact. He's got plenty of coarseness in his form next to her name. She's having an absolutely cracking season, is this Piccolo Mare, winning three of her last five starts and second on her previous three. So she's in really, really good form. Handicapper might not have got hold of her quite yet. She's on a career high of 71, but she's got a great attitude. So Baby Fact will be the selection in what's a very, very tricky race. One other price could be interesting would be Racket for Richard Hannon and Holly Doyle. That £5 claim takes that one's burden down to 9.75. So that could definitely be a little bit interesting. But a really fascinating sprint. 17 runners. The ground will be key, though, so keep an eye on the old weather forecast. That would be my concern with Goan Mago. She might not want it too soft. But either way, I'll have Baby Fact as a selection in what's a cracking event.
Baby Fact, the selection for James then in the 3:15 at Bath. Moving over to the Curragh next, the 4:15 at the Curragh is the National Stakes, a Group 1 over 7 furlongs. It's for the 2-year-olds, market headed by Churchill at the time of recording this, who's 4-9. 11-4 Maymass, Psychedelic Funk is 12-1. 16-1 for Lockheed, 28's Finn McCool, and 33-1 are bigger prices for the others. It's a race that Aidan O'Brien has done well in down the years. He's won it the last 2 years with Air Force Blue and Glen Eagles. A little bit of interest for me, though, in Maymass. Richard Hannon, or the Hannon team, have won this race in the past with the likes of Tormore, and Maymass has been probably the second-best 2-year-old sprinter this season behind Caravaggio.
Exactly. Really fascinating, Connor. Some great racing over in Ireland this weekend. Obviously, Leopardstown today, and the Curragh, it moves on tomorrow with a cracking Group 1 here. And to be fair, after Royal Ascot, you'd have had Memas as the better horse over Churchill. Obviously, Churchill won the Jesham. Memas was second to Caravaggio. And that was actually the softest ground that Memas has run on. I think that was his best effort, to be honest, when coming second in the Coventry to Caravaggio. He's got the job done at Newmarket in the July Stakes and won the Richmond at Goodwood. He's got a cracking attitude, as Memas. He is all two-year-old. There's not a lot of scope there. He's not the biggest individual in the world. So connections are certainly striking while the Iron's Heart is to be his seventh start of the season. You'd imagine he might well be a sire by the end of two or three. So he's not going to be one that's going to improve massively, but he's got a very high level of form, probably a better level of form than what Churchill has shown. But arguably Churchill's probably got a little bit more scope. Ridden by Ryan Moore, he's back from injury. This one won the Cheshire one his second start up and finishing third on debut at the Curra. He then went on to win a Group 3 at Leopardstown in the Group 2 at the Curra last time out. What's he achieved? Because he's 4-1 on at the Curra, 5-2 on at Leopardstown, and 11-8 on at Royal Ascot. So he's obviously very highly regarded, but what he's had to beat form-wise for me is nothing as good as what Memas has run against. So at the prices, I'd probably go with Memas. I'd be a little bit agreement with you there, Mark. I think he's very interesting. And he'd be the one I go for. Obviously, Churchill's highly regarded, and we've got to respect Aidan O'Brien's record in the race, and Churchill may have worked with Caravaggio in the past, and there may not be a lot between them, and if that's the case, then he'll certainly be beating Memas. But from what we've seen on the racetrack, I've got to say I don't have a lot I can split the pair, so I'm going to stick with Memas at a much bigger price.
Memas then, selection for James in the National Stakes. And moving on to the final race, we look at the 450 at the Curra. This is the Irish St. Ledger Group 1 over a mile and three quarters. Unlike the English version, this is open to horses of 3 years and older. And therefore, we get Order of St. George coming back to defend his crown. He won this race last year. He's 1-5 at the top of the market at the moment. Trip to Paris, 11-2, 12-1 Wicklow Brave, 33-1 Unicorn, 50-1 on bigger prices for the others. He's a real nice horse, isn't he, Order of St. George? Does he win this race for the second time in a row?
Basically. He won't get beaten, I don't think. Last time he was beat was by Bondi Beach in a Group 3 at the Curra back in June 2015. Since then, it's been six consecutive victories, and obviously he won very nicely at Ascot in the Gold Cup. Bolted up by three lengths. He's a very, very classy individual, and showed he was in good enough form 22 days ago when having a little canter around at the Curra in a Group 3. And realistically, his opposition is pretty weak, isn't it, for a Group 1. Trip to Paris, obviously, a bit of a superstar last year for Ed Dunlop. Unfortunately, picked up an injury when he ran in Japan after finishing a brilliant fourth in the Melbourne Cup. Not disgraced with third to Scottish on his return. Probably a little bit disappointing at New York in the Yorkshire Cup last time out, so he does need to bounce back from that. But Trip to Paris, realistically, he's got £10 to find in the official ratings of Order St. George, and he's just not quite that good, so you'll be sticking with him. Wicklow Brave, what a credit to Willie Mullins. A very good hurdler and a very, very good flat horse. He's been mixing codes pretty well in recent starts, but finds winning a little bit difficult. Hasn't won since May 2015, and generally just comes up short against these very, very good horses. But I'll say he must be a joy to own. Placed in Grade 1 races on the flat and over hurdles, but he'll probably be placed again. So, very tricky, I'm afraid. It's probably going to be Order of St. George beats Trip to Paris, beats Wicklow Brave.
Okay, Order of St. George and the selection for James in the 450 at the Curra of the Irish St. Ledger. As usual, James, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go. Just relay your selections for us one more time then.
Yeah, we've got some really classy racing on Sunday over in France and Ireland, a valuable race at Bath. But at 2 o'clock at Shanty, we're going to stick with the Japanese horse Makahiki. Won a Japanese derby, and with midterm perhaps needing a run slightly, I think he can make a winning French debut on preparation for an ARC trial. 3-15 at Bath, we're going to go for Baby Facts. The Malcolm Sarnas filly has been very consistent this season, and I think she's got a great chance in a 20 grand handicap. 4-15 at the Curra, I think Memas and Churchill are very similar horses on form, so therefore you've got to go with a much bigger price runner in Memas. And then finally, Order of St. George will not be beaten in the Irish St. Ledger.
Superb, good work, James. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Sunday.
No problem.
So there you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35 PM. Ollie Pimlott, Paddy Aspel and Alistair Whitehouse-Jones will be the team in the studio. It's Bath, Fosslass and Chelmsford City on the domestic front, but some real good racing elsewhere as well. We've got ARC Trials Day in Shanty, so we'll try and squeeze in as much of the action from France as we can, and a real good card at the Curra as well. There are three Group 1s on their card, including the National Stakes and the Irish St. Ledger we just heard from James regarding those two races. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.